Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Letting Go of Anger, the 11 Most Common Anger Styles and What to Do About Them. Second edition is a practical self-help and anger management book by Ronald T. Potter Efron and Patricia Potter Efron. Rather than treating anger as a single problem, the book argues that people develop recurring styles of expressing anger, such as exploding, seething, withdrawing, denying anger, or displacing it onto others. Its purpose is diagnostic as much as therapeutic. It helps readers recognize the patterns they habitually use, understand why those patterns persist, and identify healthier alternatives. The second edition keeps the focus on accessible language, self-assessment, and step-by-step reflection, making it useful for readers who want a structured way to examine their emotional habits. The book is grounded in clinical experience and is aimed at people who may not even see themselves as angry, but who recognize that their reactions often create conflict, isolation, or regret. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, anger is framed as a pattern of recurring styles, not one single emotion. The central idea of the book is that anger is not expressed in only one way. Instead, most people fall back on a limited set of recurring styles when they feel threatened, frustrated, or hurt. This matters because it shifts the problem from a vague sense of being an angry person to a more precise question: how does anger show up in this individual case? By organizing anger into identifiable styles, the authors give readers a practical vocabulary for noticing behavior they may have normalized. The framework is useful because it recognizes that people may use more than one style, depending on context, yet still remain predictable under stress. That combination of variety and habit is what makes the model psychologically convincing. It also avoids moralizing anger as simply good or bad. Some forms of anger expression may be appropriate in certain situations, but the book warns that relying too heavily on the wrong style can create long-term relational and personal damage. Secondly, self-assessment is used to reveal hidden or misrecognized anger. A distinctive feature of the book is its emphasis on helping readers discover anger patterns they may not consciously identify. The search data and reviews suggest that some readers entered the book believing they were not angry people, only to realize through quizzes and chapter-by-chapter reflection that they were expressing anger indirectly or defensively. That is important because many harmful anger patterns are not explosive. They may appear as silence, denial, passive resistance, or chronic resentment. The book, therefore, works as a mirror rather than a lecture. It invites readers to compare their reactions across situations and notice repeated tendencies. This approach is valuable in self-help because people often defend their self-image by interpreting anger narrowly, associating it only with shouting or visible aggression. By broadening that definition, the book makes hidden anger legible and easier to address. It also points toward the idea that anger is often secondary, meaning it can cover deeper emotions such as hurt, fear, shame, or frustration. Thirdly, the 11-style framework is meant to connect diagnosis with action. The book does more than name anger styles. It tries to show what to do about them. That combination of explanation and intervention is central to its structure. Once readers identify their dominant patterns, they are encouraged to understand the costs of those styles and to practice more flexible ways of responding. The value of the framework lies in its specificity. A reader who recognizes explosive anger needs different guidance from someone who suppresses anger until it becomes quiet seething. Because the styles are differentiated, the remedies can also be more targeted. This is one reason the book has a strong practical reputation. It is not just descriptive psychology, but a guide to change. The underlying assumption is that habits of anger are learned and therefore can be unlearned or revised. That makes the book useful for readers looking for a structured approach rather than a purely inspirational one. It also explains why the authors emphasize creativity and flexibility in expression, not simply suppression or control. Fourthly, healthy anger is treated as something to regulate, not eliminate. The book does not present anger as inherently bad. Instead, it treats anger as an emotion that can be used constructively if it is understood and expressed appropriately. This is an important distinction because many anger management books focus only on restraint, which can leave readers believing the goal is to become unemotional. Here, the aim is healthier expression. The authors suggest that anger can serve a positive function when it alerts people to boundary violations, injustice, or unmet needs. The challenge is not the existence of anger, but the style in which it is expressed. Some styles distort the message, escalate conflict, or turn anger inward, while others help communicate needs more clearly. This perspective makes the book more balanced than a simple anti-anger approach. It helps readers see that managing anger is about choosing a better channel, not denying legitimate feelings. That nuance is one reason the book has appeal for both general readers and people already familiar with therapeutic concepts. Lastly, its clinical orientation makes it useful for both personal and treatment settings. The book is written by clinicians with experience in anger management, mental health counseling, and related issues, and that background shapes its tone and utility. It is accessible enough for general readers, but it is also structured enough to be useful in therapeutic or self-directed treatment contexts. The presence of quizzes, chapter-based reflection, and a clear conceptual model makes it suitable for people who want a workbook-like guide without needing a formal program. At the same time, the book does not depend on jargon or complex theory, which broadens its audience. This clinical practicality also explains why reviews describe it as thought-provoking and useful for beginning a serious examination of one's anger habits. Its strength lies in translating professional insight into manageable categories that readers can actually use. Compared with broader emotional wellness books, it focuses tightly on anger expression and avoids diluting the subject. That specialization is part of what makes the book stand out in the self-help and anger management genre. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a concrete, reflective way to understand anger rather than a generic set of calming tips. It can help people who feel chronically irritated, who have trouble recognizing their own anger, or who notice that the same conflicts keep repeating in relationships, work, or family life. It is also useful for counselors, therapists, or support group participants looking for a simple but clinically informed framework to discuss anger styles. What makes it stand out in its category is the 11-style model itself. Instead of treating anger as one undifferentiated problem, it breaks expression into recognizable habits and shows how different habits require different responses. That gives the book diagnostic clarity and practical value. The second edition also reinforces its usability by keeping the material direct, accessible, and action-oriented. For readers who want to move beyond self-blame or vague advice, this book offers a more precise map of anger behavior and a realistic starting point for change. If you would like to support Ronald T. Potter Efron MSW PhD, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.